We're going to read a verse of scripture and then refer to it later on, because we're looking at truths we've looked at before, but want to examine them a little more closely. So 2 Timothy, if I never get to it, chapter 3, and verse 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your precious and wonderful word. Thank you for the truth of it. What we know is not because we're smart or because we're intelligent, but simply because you opened the windows of heaven and communicated to us. And we thank you for that, Lord. We do not believe in a myth. We do not believe in something we've made up. It is your truth, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I want to look tonight again at the revelation of God, and I want to show it from another angle for your thoughts to think about. The revelation of God. God has revealed himself to us. We have not climbed up and found him. He has revealed himself to us. We do not know God because of our knowledge, but God has pulled back the curtains of heaven and revealed himself to us. What you and I know and what I know is not because we're smart, but because God has opened the doors to let us see. Our understanding of God and himself comes from him communicating to us, not our great human understanding and intellect. Of course, it takes human understanding and study to understand his word, but it's not because we have somehow figured it out on our own. I want to take all the other things and point to objective truth versus subjective truth, and I want you to think about it later on. Objective truth is that which can be observed in an objective, clear, measured way. It is outside of ourselves. I wish I could come up with another word, but that's the best I can do. It is something which is outside of us. The illustration of it is this. Speeding is caught on a policeman's radar. For example, I'm driving somewhere, and it's a 45 miles per hour zone. He pulls me over and says, "I hate to tell you, but I clocked you doing 60. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Now, I could argue that, but the radar is objective truth. It measured it, I was speeding, and that's the end of the story. Subjective truth is that which is measured by man and his feelings or impressions. This is inside of ourselves. For example, I felt I was not speeding even though the radar gun said otherwise. I could say to the officer, and I could go in the courtroom and say, "I'm sorry. But I know the radar gun said I was doing 60, but I felt like I was doing 30. I don't think the judge is going to say, "No charge." No. No matter how I felt, and no matter what subjectively I felt, the truth is the radar is objective. It measured it. I'm guilty. Now, as we go through the four ways God revealed himself, I want you to keep that in mind. God has revealed himself in four ways. The first is what we would call general revelation, which is available to everybody, anywhere, any place. First, God has revealed himself through creation. This reveals that God exists. This is objective revelation. This is not subjective. It is objective. For example, the scripture says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." That is, the sun can be seen. If someone stands out there and says, "That's not the sun, that's an imagination," no, then you know, you better run for your life, because that is the sun, and that is the moon, and that is the stars, and those are animals, and that is plants. In other words, the creation is objective. It is clearly seen. You can't miss it. If you miss it, it's because of what he says later on in Romans, because of man's natural sinfulness, he wants to back away from what little he may know from God. That's his, it's like putting magnets on opposite poles. You put them together, they won't go together. Well, man's sinful nature is naturally repelled by what little God says. And so in Romans 1, he says, I made myself clearly seen. It is objective. Psalm says the same thing. It's observed. You can see it. You can see the sun. You can see the moon. You can see the stars. Now, you may make a subjective interpretation that there is no God, but you can't make an interpretation that there is no universe out there. It's clear. In other words, it's objective. So if someone says, well, you know, it came through millions and millions of years of evolution or whatever, well, that's a subjective interpretation. Objectively, it's very clear. It's creation. It's there. And you can see it. So first, he reveals himself through creation. Second way is through conscience. That is, he reveals there is a standard that must be followed. This is subjective, but listen, but it is demonstrated in an objective way. What do I mean by that? Well, he says it in Romans 2. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Well, the fact the law says is written in man's heart to know there's a right and wrong. Doesn't mean he took a pen and wrote it, but he made their awareness within man's inside a person. And so he says the evidence of that is Gentiles, in the context of the Old Testament, people who weren't Jews and didn't have the Bible, do by their nature the things that are contained in the law. They show that it's written in the heart. What do I mean? Well, you say, oh, look at that fella. That man's a good man. He's really a good man. That's a good woman. It's a good person. That's true. But that doesn't mean they're saved. Unless they've trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior and confess Him as Lord, and want to honor Him and serve Him and be in church, that doesn't demonstrate they say. That just proves God's revealed Himself. The very fact that anybody lives a good and decent life is proof God has put the law in their hearts, and they instinctively, another verse says, they instinctively know to do right and wrong. You can go to cultures in the Old Testament who did not have the law, who did not have God's revelation, and they made up a law that was just as close to the Ten Commandments. That's why most people say the Ten Commandments copied from some. No. It's proof that God wrote in their heart. They know it. They know that they're right and wrong. They know you shouldn't steal. They know you shouldn't kill. They know you shouldn't commit adultery. They know you shouldn't bear false witness, but notice their conscience bears witness, and it either accuses them or else excuses them. Why does a person, when they see me and haven't been to church in a while, all of a sudden go, uh-oh? Their conscience. They know. And how do you know? Because objectively, people live in ways that are in keeping with the law. You say, oh man, I know a lot of good people. Well, amen. That doesn't mean they're saved. That simply means God has revealed Himself in their hearts. Notice, for when the Gentiles which do not have the law do by nature the things contained in the law, they instinctively do what's right and wrong, and though it's subjectively written in their heart, Paul says is objectively seen by the way they conduct themselves. So they can never say, oh, I didn't know there was a standard. You're living by one. Which proof is you know there's one. And they don't mind criticizing you if you didn't do what you should. Well, how can they criticize you if they don't know there's a standard? They know there's a standard. Their conscience accuses or excuses them. So God has made himself known. The third way is the second thing he does is through special revelation. This is through Christ. This is objective and it's seen in the Bible. It's objective. How do I know? Because the Bible says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. The word declared means to explain him. So Jesus, who is God, left heaven and wrapped himself in human flesh, walked on our level. But I don't get visions of Jesus. I don't have to make up my idea of Jesus. His life is objectively recorded in the scriptures. Someone said, well, you know, I don't think Jesus would send anybody to hell. Well, you better read the Bible then. You better read the objective nature about what Jesus said and who he is. In other words, it's objective. You can argue with it and you can't like it, but the life of Christ is very clear. Who he is, what he said, how he conducted himself is clearly objectively revealed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's clear if you study it. And people have all kinds of ideas of Jesus. Well, did they get it from the Bible or did they get it from their own thoughts? So God came from heaven and wrapped himself in human flesh in Christ, but he doesn't leave us to have to try to figure it out. He made sure it was recorded in four different ways, in four different angles. The first three gospels are called synoptic gospels, which mean they all have the same material, but they look at it from different angles. Kind of like two or three witnesses say, well, this happened and this happened. Probably both things happened. They just saw it from different angles. So you can't miss him. I love it when I hear some commentators say, well, you know, Jesus is this. He is. Well, let me go back and read my Bible. I haven't found that on the pages. That's your subjective opinion. I have an objective truth that tells me Jesus is other than that. So we clearly know. Someone said, well, I've seen Jesus. Well, great. I don't care. I don't mean to put it that blunt. I don't care if you've seen Jesus. It ain't going to faze me one bit. I've seen him in the Bible. That's my objective truth about who he is. Fourthly, we know through the scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. We've mentioned this so many times. It is God-breathed. It comes from God. This scripture comes from God. 1 Peter, 2 Peter says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. That is, man didn't make it up himself. But holy men spake of God as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God moved upon them. They wrote that which God intended, though he used their experiences, their personality, their circumstances. They wrote that which God intended. Now, guess what? It's objective. It's not subjective. Now, you may subjectively get something out of there that's not there, but it's pretty objective. Jesus died on the cross. That's clearly stated, clearly written. It is what we would call propositional truth. God's truth is in words, and words say certain things. They don't say whatever I think it said. They say certain things. Now, just because someone misinterprets or I misinterpret doesn't mean it's not clear. If I tell you and come in here tonight and do this, you're going to look at me like, well, what are you talking about? I don't understand that. But if I use the word run, there's a robber in here. You don't go, I wonder what the preacher meant by that. You pretty well know the words I just said mean something. And you know you better run because there's a robber. Well, the Bible is in words. It's written down in words. It's objective. Now, I emphasize that, very important. It is objective. Now, where do a lot of people, not say a lot, shouldn't say that, but many people base their relationship with God on subjective within themselves? Why is that if God's revelation to us is objective? Someone comes along and says, you know what? I felt led to tell you that Jesus is not God. Get out of my face. I'm not going to listen to you, because I have an objective truth that says he is. I've come to tell you there's another way to heaven. It's not through Jesus Christ. It's through another way. I've got news for you. I'm not going to listen to you, because I have an objective truth that says otherwise. Some of you know, I felt the Lord leading me to go off and do this, and it's something illegal. You think I should? Well, okay. Let's find an objective truth that states otherwise. I'm going to put this out, food for thought. Years ago, I was invited to a meeting of men, and I went. And the speaker there, I know him real well, and I think he's a fine Christian. I have no doubt about that. But in his devotional, he said, I had a vision. And I had a vision, and he explained all this stuff. And then he said, I didn't find out till later on that what I was having a vision of was nuclear fission. And I know God gave that to me. And then he proceeded to tell us what it meant. And what he said it meant was actually probably scriptural. But I didn't go back, because I ain't got time to listen to someone who wants to tell me all kinds of ideas that they got that doesn't come from the objective word of God. Another preacher friend of mine went to that same meeting later on, and we met one time, and I didn't say nothing. He said he went to that meeting, and he said, they got talking about stuff. This ain't the place for me. I didn't say nothing. That may trouble you. I don't know. You mean, preacher, the Lord doesn't lead you? Well, of course the Lord leads you. The Lord leads you and guides you. You mean we don't have experience of preaching? Oh, yeah, we have experiences. But those are not experiences of revelation, and we don't get led in revelation. Our revelation is in the objective nature of Scripture, which means we must spend some time studying and learning it. But you know why people like subjective? Because it makes them feel good, and it makes them ignore the objective truth, so they can pretty well do things they'd like to do rather than looking and studying at the objective revelation of God. Objective truth is how God has communicated himself. It'd be a lot easier just to sit here and say, God, give me an idea, rather than just to take the time to study and learn the principles of God and then try to put them into practice. You mean the Lord doesn't lead you? Well, sure he does. I'm a great believer in providence. I have occasions a while back, we're somewhere, I won't tell you the situation, but I happened to be somewhere randomly and run into somebody I needed to run into, need to tell them something because they were doing something and it helped them to not do whatever they were going to do. And I firmly believe the Lord led me. I was there at the right time. I have no problem with that. I have no problem. But I don't go out during my day looking. Ooh. Was that a providential lead? No, I don't do that. I follow his word. And when the occasion comes up, I say, well, praise the Lord. Does he lead you? Yes. Does he lead us to do things? Yeah. You know, he led me. I have no doubt in my mind. He led me to speak to Dean's father. I knew I was supposed to do it, and I knew it was the very thing I was doing. But I didn't have a revelation to do it. I just knew that I should do it. What did I share with him? Objective truth. And how did I share it? I shared it knowing the man for 34 years. I knew where he trusted, and I knew the truth that needed to be pinpricked right where he was at. It was objective truth. that did that. Did God lead? Oh, I have no doubt about that at all. At the right time, the right place. But it was objective in nature. Now, I leave this for your thoughts. Do you mean, preacher, we can't enjoy the Lord? We got to find a verse? No, I don't mean that. But I mean God has communicated to you. How do you know there's heaven? You ever been there? Well, I've heard people that have been there. I wouldn't base your life on that. You know how I know there's a heaven? Because Jesus said so. Jesus said so. How do you know you're going to heaven? Because you feel it? No, I know Jesus said so. Who trusts in Christ? I know that. How do I know the Holy Spirit lives in me? Well, I don't see him in there. And half the time, I don't feel him. But how do I know he lives in it? Because he said he does. He says to be filled with the Holy Spirit and trust in his power. I don't feel it all the time, but I know it's true. How did I know this morning when I preached that I've died in Christ and God sees me differently? Because of his objective word. That's how we know. God has communicated himself. Now, I would probably prefer that God would walk in here tonight, sit down with us, and say, I'm God, here it is. Well, he did 2,000 years ago, and guess what happened to him? They crucified him. The rich man, when he went to hell, he said, please send someone back to tell him about this place. They said, hey, if someone were to come back from the dead, they have Moses and the prophets. In other words, they have the word. If someone come right dead, they're not going to believe it. He said, oh, yes, they would. If Jesus walked around, he did 2,000 years ago, and half the people didn't believe him. That's not the problem. The problem is the human heart. Objective truth is how God is communicated. And all I'm doing is just sort of throwing this out here for you to think about, to be encouraged. You say, man, sometimes it can get discouraging. Well, find the verses that say otherwise. Man, I don't know what's going on. I know one thing. God's working everything to my good. I can't explain every single thing there, but I know he is. How do you know it, preacher? Did you feel it? No. I didn't feel him, and sometimes I wonder. But the truth is, I know it because he said it in objective truth. Now, you already believe this. I'm trying to encourage you to rest more on it. How do you know God loves you? Well, sometimes you feel like he doesn't love you. Had a bad day, and Lord, why'd this happen? How do you know he loves you? Because he said so. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. If he's willing to sacrifice his Son when you were sinners, how much more will he love you now that you're his children? How do you know? You know it because of the truth that has been communicated in real words and language. Now, people can disagree and interpret verses differently and all that, but we pretty well agree. You know how I know that when I die, I'm going straight to heaven? I know that. Well, preacher, somebody told me that. No, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I know that. I believe that, and you wouldn't change my mind on that. How do I know? Because of objective truth. I want you to be encouraged. Don't look for God out here in the feelings. Don't look for God out here in the... Look for God in his word and trust in that. And let him know he's working. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you tonight that we know that we know. But it's not because we're smart. It's because for over 1,500 years you gradually worked through those to write the scripture. You worked in the Old Testament. You did many things in the New Testament. You came to this earth, and now we have your word. A lot of it we don't understand. Some of it we may misinterpret. But Lord, there's enough in there we do understand. It's pretty clear, and we know. We know. We know there's going to be an eternal heaven. We know all these things. not because we're so smart, but because you've given it to us. Help us to trust in your objective truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.